Are you in a real estate business and find yourself bogged down with tasks that keep you from focusing on what truly matters, like closing deals and growing your business? Well, we have the perfect solution for you. Meet REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants. These are not just any virtual assistants. They are professionally trained, monitored, and managed to get the job done, allowing you to accelerate your business to new heights. Imagine having a dedicated assistant taking care of the things you either don't want to or don't have the time to do. Sounds like a dream, right? Here's what they can do for you. 1. Call or text prospects. Yes, they will do the prospecting for you, be it cold calling or texting, saving you a ton of time. 2. Gauge prospects for interest. They will contact and vet your entire list, identifying the prospects most likely to convert into customers. 3. Provide detailed lead information for follow-up. Once they pinpoint likely customers, you get notified in real time, allowing you to follow up immediately and close more deals. That's not all. These virtual assistants are real estate specialists with experience spanning real estate investors, property management companies, brokers, agents, and service providers. They are driven by core values of integrity, preparedness, stellar customer service, and a dedication to growth and learning daily. So why wait? Let the REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants be the backbone of your business, helping you scale and grow with meticulous attention to detail. Remember, with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, you're not just hiring help. You're building a culture rooted in mission and goal setting, a culture that stands tall on professionalism and a strong focus on customer service. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, your partner in achieving your business needs and goals. To get started with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants today, visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. That's moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. It's time to take the leap towards a more prosperous business. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants.
Are you a real estate investor looking for that perfect financial partner to fuel your property ventures? Or perhaps you're a lender eager to dive into a lucrative investment opportunity? Well, I have some exciting news for you. Introducing the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program, the dynamic platform that bridges the gap between real estate investors and a network of private and hard money lenders, creating a win-win for everyone involved. Here's what you can look forward to. For investors, 1. Capital Fuel. Get essential funding you need to make your property ventures a roaring success. 2. Financial Partnership. Forge vital business relationships and step up your financial freedom game. For lenders, 1. Diversified Investment Portfolio. Lending to real estate investors not only diversifies your investment portfolio, but also potentially increases your overall returns while reducing risk. 2. Attractive Returns. Enjoy higher interest rates compared to traditional lending options, giving you the potential for significant returns on your investment. 3. Access to qualified borrowers. Save time and effort in finding and vetting real estate investors. The platform connects you with a network of dedicated and experienced investors, increasing the likelihood of successful ventures. So, whether you're looking to request a deal funding or offer funding solutions as a lending partner, the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program is your gateway to the world of opportunity and rewards delivered right to your email inbox. Ready to embark on a more prosperous real estate investing journey? Get started now. Visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. That is moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. Take your first step to a bigger bottom line with United States Real Estate Investor Lending. That is United States Real Estate Investor Lending.
Universe Media Network. 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 Network.
Welcome to Money is Funny, where we have a relaxed but important conversation about money and life and how we can make the best decisions of both. I'm Michael Anthony.
And I'm Online Chrome, baby.
And today's topic is starting a business. How can it be profitable? How can you do it? What should you do? What you shouldn't do? Which will show you money is funny. Armand, I think you did fine, bro. How are you doing? You doing well? You doing okay?
You froze up a little bit there, but I'm doing good.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not doing well. You're like, are you having a stroke?
Your network needs to be upgraded. You know what I'm saying?
New house, new network. You saw all the old stuff in this house. You know, you got the TV with the big back. You got the dial up.
You're still working with Sprint, aren't you? That's that Sprint network.
It's not even Sprint. This Boost. It's Boost Mobile. Hey, shout out to Boost. If you actually be a sponsor of us, we love Boost. We just won't use the Wi-Fi. Do not use the Wi-Fi password for Boost. Armand, how was your week been?
Man, you know what? My week is good, man. I got three girls and a beautiful wife. And you know what? When you're doing so good in life, man, you can't even complain. Even when you're having bad, I found out like my home got termites and stuff like that. So, but you know, I can't even complain about that. Yeah, like yeah,
this that's quality problems. Someone listening to that be like, he has a home? He has a home that's housing other things.
Other things. Exactly. Nobody wants to hear about your problems, Armand.
Right, right. Then again, if someone's listening to this, they have a home. They have Wi-Fi at least. You know, so they have a mobile device. So
and that's ooh, he's got termites.
People were bugs. Ooh, I live outside. I have the shower at McDonald's bathroom.
Hence why I said I can't complain, but I did go see Black Panther. What and I managed not to cry. You know, brother choked back a few, you know.
Hey, yo, even when when they showed the trailer, it was hard to watch. You're like, oh, Chad, oh. I didn't see it. No spoilers. How was it?
It was great. There was a moment, though, in the theater where some lady was turning around and yelling at my seed for something. And I stood up. It was about to get it, and I asked my daughter, who was it? She was like, nobody. Sit down, Dad. Sit down. Watch the movie. I was like,
so y'all went to the movie. You just got out yesterday. Because I heard the movie's like 2 hours and 41 minutes. Jesus Lord.
Man, I had to pee like three times. I shouldn't have. Don't, you know what? Don't spoil it for yourself. Don't drink a lot of water before you go. Because
they dehydrated. It's worth dehydrating.
Yes, just be dehydrated. Don't drink at least about 3-4 hours before you go. It was a great movie.
So how was the seats? Like, was it like, because I know nowadays with theaters, they're trying to, you know, they're in competition with the home theaters. So they should have the toilets inside the theater where you just don't even have to get up. They're like, sir, would you like a diaper or would you like the seat where you don't have to get up?
You know what? We're going to have to start a new podcast about grading theaters because this one was like medium grade. Like, you know, it had the lounge seats, the assigned seats. So we, you know, got our assigned seats ahead of time. Okay. It was supposed to deliver our food. They didn't deliver our food. Walked into the bathroom. It's a small bathroom. It's in the Chula Vista Mall Center. They got four stalls. Two of them were broken and overflowing with pee. Like onto the floor. It was nasty. And you're trying to run in there and pick a toilet to use and then run back out. It was horrible. But you know what? I enjoyed the movie.
And this is why this industry, the theater is crumbling because people go out to this and enjoy and I'm a big movie buff. You know, I love movies and I love there's certain movies that come out you have to see in the theater and that will ruin your whole theater experience.
Well, I'm a financial advisor, so there is no have to anything. I only went because my wife wants to go. Well, we've had this discussion before. I could have watched that just fine in my living room. I could have waited. I'd have been just fine.
This is why that business is dying, because people like Armand, like, I'm fine when it comes on Amazon Prime. I'm going to just watch it with just that.
I'm sure Tom is going to agree with me, man. If it don't make money, it don't make sense. And that ain't making me no money. I'm so sorry. I have to think twice about anything that doesn't make me money.
Yeah.
If it ain't making me money, nah. Now, you sit here and talk about the experience.
Yeah, I'll pay
for experiences, but I don't know if Black Panther is giving me the experience, especially in that theater, that I was really looking for.
Right.
I'm not going to be on my deathbed going, man, you remember that time I saw the Black Panther? No, that's not the experience. I'm talking about Portugal experience.
Who was going to be asking you, where were you at when you saw Wakanda Forever? Speaking of time, let our viewers know, let our listeners know, give this man just a little bit of his background and a little bit of his resume, because
Resume, first of all, you're going to want to listen to this man because he's been in the business for 30 plus years.
Damn.
So Thomas Samuelson is the founder of Braun, the first social network marketplace for investors and listed companies. Tom has had a diverse 30-year career in finance and capital markets, including asset management and investment banking. Tom is recognized by his peers as an expert in developing market economies and has traveled extensively throughout Asia, Latin America, and Eastern Europe. He has been a hedge fund man. He's managed different portfolios. He's handling finances. I feel like this man has been in suits with nice shoes, shaking hands of important people, something that this lonely financial advisor does not have to do. But without further ado,
hey,
let's bring Tom in. Well, say let's make him big, because you know he's the big man here.
How you guys doing?
Tom, how you doing?
We're good. Definitely good. How are you doing?
Here.
You doing well, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thank you very much.
Are you at all a theater goer? Do you go to the theater, or what are your stances on movie theater?
When I had younger kids, I used to go all the time. I'll be honest, I don't like the theater. I'd rather stream it at home. I'm with Armand, dude. I'm a streamer.
Okay, even if you got the quote unquote epic movies like Jurassic Park or King Kong versus Godzilla or Star Wars or any of these huge epic movies that you quote unquote need to see in the theater, you still just rather stream it?
I'd rather stream it at home.
Wow.
Nowadays you can get a 60-inch television for like a grand.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a 100-foot television for, I mean, these televisions are real cheap.
Yeah.
You know, but personally, I'd rather stream from home. I just don't like going to the movies.
I don't like being around people like that.
Armand's cheap. He just said he just don't like spending money or like that.
I don't like spending the money. I like to make my own popcorn, season it exactly how I want it, drink the drink, and have my bourbon, the good bourbon, not that watered down stuff you be having for me. Oh no, the good stuff.
Do you do
popcorn? And Tom look like he can drink some good bourbon.
You know what? I'm a wine and beer guy. I got off hard liquor many years ago. I gotta be honest, yeah.
Hey, you know, I got a wine cellar, Tom. You need to come to San Diego. Next time you're in San Diego,
I'm there.
We'll break out something, whatever you name it, I got it.
Yeah. So Tom, Armand gave us a very short and dense version of your resume. Can you go ahead and speak a little bit? How'd you get into the business that you're in right now? What were some of the hiccups, and what are the things that you can actually give some people advice on if they feeling like a little discomfort or a little discouraged on taking the next leap into something, a situation like yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm not going to go into I think you guys read my background pretty well. So after a long career, I was still in the business, and you know, I've always had this entrepreneurial bent about me. I think most people want to work for themselves, but they're either afraid or they don't know how to go for the process. And I think what happened was as an investor, I was traveling around different countries and investing in companies. And I had this idea of streamlining, making things more efficient in what I was doing. And that morphed into, you know, an idea originally started with video, and this is pre-pandemic, where very few people using video. And I created a video company where we were live streaming, you know, meetings between companies and investors. It was pretty good. But I think that has morphed into this social network, which I'll go into later. But I think to answer your question, you know, one of the big hurdles I had to go through, and I think a lot of people that may be watching this are at the same, is that I was at an age where most people are thinking about retirement, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, my kids are old, they're out of the house, I got one still in college, but you know, two others are out of the house, and you know, I've had a long career, and maybe I'll just calm things down, move to Florida, move to Texas, wherever, move to San Diego, and just enjoy the weather. And I don't think I could ever retire per se. I mean, I like to golf, but I couldn't golf three times a week, you know? So I was like, okay, I want to do something. And I had this idea, but I had this hurdle where, wow, you know, am I too old? And to answer your question, to get into to how I got involved, I first had to get that hurdle. And I said to myself, I'm not too old.
Amen.
I don't think you're ever too old to do something that you have passion with. So I think the advice I can give to begin this podcast with is, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what business you've been in. I don't care how much money you have. There is always a way to find a way to start a business. If you have a good idea that makes sense, if it, especially if it's something that you have passion or you have some history with, it's never too late. And so that was the first hurdle I had to get over. And once I got over that hurdle, not that it's been easy, because it's not been easy, right, but I can tell you that was the hardest thing I had to get over, that mental part of it, to say, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to leave this career I have. I'm going to get out of, trading, investing, and begin this new career in technology. And that's...
Let's be clear, Armand. He's talking about in business, not like he wants to be... All right, I'm at a certain age, and I want to play professional football. I want to be a professional basketball player. This is what starting a business and finances. Let's reel it in to this point. Let's not be like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a professional tennis player. Let me blow out my ACL. We're talking about physics, because you're never too old to crunch numbers. You're never too old to make money, but you are too old to run. Run a couple on the field.
So we call this the third act. Is this your third act or fourth act? Because you've done a lot of things.
I don't know how many acts. Well, I mean, I've always worked. I've been in finance, but I've always been in a position where I've always, let's say, eat what I kill. So I've always been, hey, whatever my returns are, that's what I'm gonna get paid on, even though I work for a pretty large hedge fund and other things. So, I always had this, my grandfather was an entrepreneur, always failed and everything, but he always had businesses, and I remember that. So I kind of like had that spirit about me. And I think one of the tough things, and this is, I don't know if I'm gonna, this is controversial to say, but I've always had very high paying jobs, and the hardest thing is to leave. So when you're comfortable, when you're really comfortable,
yeah,
and you make a decision to be uncomfortable, that's really tough. And you do it at an age where most of my friends are starting to retire. It's very tough. But it was more of a mental challenge, but I just knew that this idea I had, was going to work. And I said, okay, I'm going to go all in. And that's the second thing I'm going to mention. I think one of the things, again, before you start on this journey, whether it's a business or what have you, is a lot of books that you read will tell you, oh, okay, you start this business, make sure you have some type of plan B in case it doesn't work. And I have to tell you, I think if you've spoke to enough entrepreneurs to know that I think you can't have a plan B. I think people with plan B don't make it. I have no plan B. I mean, not that I have, but I mean, I do have some, I did pretty well in my career, but in terms of moving forward, I'm all in. I've put a lot of money into this business, and I don't have a plan B to fall back on. And I think that's the advice I also give, is like, don't worry about plan B. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but your mindset has to be, I am all in, and this is not going to fail.
Ain't no half stepping. And I think you just have this, like you said, you have to be all in, and to quote Trevor Smith, we all know him as Busta Rhymes, this has to work. Could you imagine Busta Rhymes taking an order at Wendy's? No, he had to be rapping. This is what Busta Rhymes had to do. Same thing with Floyd Mayweather. What I'm saying? He can't read, but he could definitely know how to count his money. This is boxing was all in. And there was a video that went viral just recently of Eddie Murphy on the Arsenio Hall show. Yes, I'm dating myself. Eddie Murphy, I didn't see it when it was live. It's just now going back. Anyway, Eddie Murphy said there was no plan B, that this is exactly what I wanted to do. He looked at television, and his brother, rest his soul, Charlie Murphy, they looked at each other. He said, I'm going to be like that on television. That's what I'm going to do. And then, Eddie Murphy, because I feel like if you're all the way in, there's no thinking of something else. There's no time for anything else. And I think one thing you said that I like, where you said, if it doesn't work, not necessarily doesn't work, it's just not happening when you want it to happen. You got to stay in line. People that's like the slot machine, don't leave the slot machine before you get the jackpot. You just keep on playing, because your number is going to get called. Play good and play hard. I really appreciate that. I definitely like that.
Well, something else you said too that was important is, going out on your own when you have kids and a family to support. is a tough thing to do. It was part of the reason why I, after the Navy, jumped into this before I had kids, because all the guys in the Navy decided to stay in the Navy. And the number one thing they would say is, I got kids, so I can't leave this comfortable thing to go do something that I'm unfamiliar with because I got kids. And you know, if I don't bring the money home, mama's going to kick me out, and I don't want to get kicked out. So that's a tough thing to do. So, you know, you have to weigh all those options, of course. But I feel like Tom was in a perfect spot. Kids are, you know, grown out, and he saw an opportunity, and he got to get an opportunity to do what he really wanted to do, which I guess we got to hear about. What, you know, how did you start getting into this? What are you doing? And how does it help people to grow their businesses?
Yeah, so how I got involved, as I tell you, I had, you know, been in the investment world a long time, and I had this idea that, you know, companies aren't as effective communicating with all types, all sizes of investors as they should be, right? So every time I go, I went to visit a company, whether it's in the U.S. or Brazil or China, they would say the same thing. Oh, you know, we want more liquidity. We want to, how do we get more investors like you? How do we, and they all wanted to have, to be better communicators. And so that idea stuck with me. And I was using video as a way to sort of solve that problem. But then, you know, after the pandemic hit, video became almost, as we're seeing today, it's been commoditized. Like, there's no money in it. It's almost free, right? And it's become, you know, an afterthought for everybody, which is great. But I also saw that there was an opportunity in terms of connecting people, but more in a social way. And one of the issues is, again, another way to overcome something is that, as you can tell, I wasn't a typical social media person, but I did realize that social media channels and podcasting being one of them has just exploded all over the world. I mean, the penetration of social media is, and I've seen the statistics, is beyond comprehension. And it's, you know, anywhere from age 14 to age 65. And that's where everyone is absorbing all their information, all their education. I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, whether it's TikTok, whether it's podcasts, whether it's Instagram, this is where it's coming. This is where it's going. So when I looked at creating this business, I said, okay, do I want to set up a website? Do I want to just have another database? Or do I want to have something that's happening now into the future, which is how everyone's communicating? So that's the idea of taking this idea and then saying, okay, let me put it under the wrapper of a social community as opposed to just having another website. And so that's how the idea sort of generated.
So if I personally wanted to find companies that I want to invest in, your social media network would be a place I could go where I could be an angel investor, or I can be.
Yeah. I had to make a distinction. So because I have this background of dealing with companies that are listed on stock exchanges, we're exclusive right now. We're exclusive to companies that are listed on a stock exchange. So whether you're a cannabis company listed on the NASDAQ or an oil company listed in Brazil, those are the companies. So you have to be listed on the exchange to be part of our network. So it's we're not getting involved in, let's say, private companies per se. It's all listed companies. So the average person, and you know, out there probably has an account somewhere in Robinhood or Charles Schwab or somewhere, or I know you're a financial planner, so you're obviously very adapted to what I'm about to say. But so everyone has some type of account or multiple accounts to trade stocks here and there. And so this is the type of user that we're looking for. We have two types of users. So we're a B2B in a sense. We have very large investors. Some of the largest investors in the world are part of our network. But our main core is we're trying to democratize information. So we want to make all this information readily available to anyone. Mm-hmm. Previously, it was very difficult to get. So we're opening up this information flow to all types, all sizes of investors. So you could be an investor who maybe only have $1,000, or someone who has, you know, a billion. It doesn't matter to us because the companies pay us on the back end to bring them eyeballs, to bring them investors of all sizes. And that's the whole idea of this term, democratization of finance, democratization of investing.
Now, so, what is the information you would give to an advisor or an investor that's looking to invest into a company? What are some of the, like, I guess, the main three top tips that you can, you know what I'm saying, get a good good things to look out for a company that you may have never even heard of, know nothing about, but also want to invest in something?
Like, sure. So the first thing is that the companies themselves, right? So let's take an extreme example. You have Tesla, and then you've got, you know, a small cap company in the cannabis space, or a small, you know, Chinese company or whatever. All these companies, they already produce a lot of content to educate investors already, right? So that was the whole point of our solution, is like these companies are already producing a lot of information that they want you to read. They want you to understand their company better. They want to educate you on their industry, but no one sees it. It's very difficult to get. It's out there in the cloud. You know, it's supposed to be distributed through the news networks, but they don't do that. You know, the websites don't distribute, you know, 80% of what's being put out there. So we've created an ecosystem to allow anyone to go in and to be educated and engage with any company they're interested in. So they just like any kind of social network, you go into you decide, let's say you don't know what company you want to invest in, but you want to invest, let's say, in clean energy. So you go in clean energy, you see some companies you like, you follow them. And then on your home feed, you're going to get all the information that they publish, which is information to educate you on what they're doing, like how they're doing, what news is coming out. They have presentations, they have videos, all this is available. But it's not easily accessible. So you look at us as, for example, you take Expedia, right? So Expedia is a news aggregator, information aggregator for the travel industry. Zillow is an information aggregator for real estate. So like it makes it easy to go into the, you know, one website and get all the information. We do the same thing, but for investors, for corporate information, to allow companies to easily educate their investors or future stakeholders.
So I feel like I understand why you would only want to use people who are traded on the stock exchange there, because, you know, anybody can come on there and be like, oh, I'm starting this new company. Da 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 da. Here's some information. Give me some money. And then next thing you know, your platform is, you know, open to just Lily saying, hey, insulin is free, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing is that, I mean, because of, again, I've always dealt with the public companies, you know, not that they're all straight and narrow, but at least there's information, right? You can look, these companies have to have a track record to be listed. So you can see if they're actually generating business, you can see if they have clients. Whereas on private companies, you know, it's unfortunate. You're seeing, by the way, you're seeing what's going on in the crypto space is very similar, right? So,
yes,
you know, people were jived into the crypto space with little or no information. All they saw, all they did was watch, you know, YouTube videos and whatever, and they saw that people were making money, so they jumped in without any information. And these cryptos were like, if you make the analogy to companies, they were companies with essentially two-page white paper. So, and most people never read the white paper, so there's very little information. You're jumping in, you have no idea what you're doing, and now we're seeing the shakeout, as they say. And we've seen this before. It's happened in the crypto space before, but no one pays attention to history.
And it used to happen in the stock market in the 1800s when it wasn't federally regulated. So yeah, it's just the wild, wild west. It's just happening all over again. It's repeating itself, but it just rhymes a little bit. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you think about it. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just... Armand, what did I ask you? What did you say to me about a year and 5 months ago about crypto coin?
I said I wouldn't do it. I said it's not regulated. I said I wouldn't invest in it until it's actually regulated. Unless
I think your actual words were, is this not real money?
That too.
You know, it's interesting. So, I haven't heard anyone really write about this, but in 2013-14, the same thing happened. So you had this company in Japan called Mt. Gox, right? And they were They dominated. They had 70%. They were a crypto exchange. They had 70% of all market share of all crypto. Well, it wasn't crypto, it was Bitcoin trading at the time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it was only Bitcoin at the time. They dominated, they dominated the Bitcoin space. And it was some, you know, obscure guy living in, you know, Frenchman living in Japan with absolutely no background whatsoever. All of a sudden, you know, he's running, he took over this crypto exchange from this programmer who just got bored with it. And next thing you know, he's got 70% market share and there's billions of dollars changing hands. He gets hacked a few times. Next thing you know, overnight, it's gone. Like, zero.
Oh, my God.
And nobody learns from these things. So now you have a similar situation. You got a kid from MIT, clueless kid, you know, smart but clueless. He figures a way. He figures to manipulate the system. He's got he starts, you know, generating this money out of nothing. It's fake money. And he's got celebrities promoting it. And next thing you know, this thing, the fake money gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And nobody pays attention to the past and the history. And so you knew something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And now it's a disaster, right? It's beyond a disaster. But this has happened before.
Sounds like the tale of Kanye West. Tom, so you travel all over. I mean, as me and Armand was telling me all the places you travel to, and I was like, man, he is the Carmen Sandiego of business, and he's all over the places. So I want to ask you, in some of these markets that you went over, where were some of the places? Because I know you had to negotiate. What places were the easiest to negotiate and communicate? And which ones that were just like, guys, just understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to help us all. Like, what were some of the markets that were easier and which ones that was not as easy to negotiate business with?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I travel a lot to the developing world. So all of those places were difficult. But some of the places that were, let's say, that had more regulation than others and more was, for example, Chile, right? Chile is a country that was very organized. And when you go there, everything, you know, the stock exchange was smooth, you know, making transactions are smooth. People were very, very understood how things had to be done. So that was one place that was very easy to do business with. You know, one of the places that was difficult in the beginning, but it became very easy as they learned, was Brazil. Like Brazil in the early 90s was just like literally a wild west. But once they realized that they could get more foreign investment, they turned dramatically. And Brazil is one of the countries where you have some of the best disclosure. So it's dramatically turned. Obviously, the one place that has always been difficult from a standpoint of communication and believing what the numbers is China. China's a massive market. In terms of technology, in terms of, you know, they're probably, you know, one of the best markets in the world. Mm-hmm. But in terms of dealing with the companies directly and really believing what they tell you and the numbers is kind of a disaster. So again, the fun about it is that every country is unique. Every country is different. But all of the developing countries are very difficult to deal with because of their stage of development. But there are some that obviously have learned and are quickly becoming much easier to deal with than the others.
Sounds like you have to have government involved, kind of like cryptocurrency.
You know, yes and no. Like, there are places where you have a lot of government intervention that works, and other places where you have almost no government intervention and it doesn't work very well. So it's country by country. It's country by country, you know. But every finance industry, no matter whether it's here in the U.S. or let's say in Venezuela or South Africa or Portugal or the U.K., all of this industry, the finance industry, as you mentioned before, is all regulated, right? It's, you know, everything's regulated. So, you know, how much you charge for commissions in stocks and how much is this, and when you buy a stock, where could it be custodied? All of that is regulated, which is good. When you deal with things that are unregulated, which I never did, I've always dealt in regulated instruments, that's when things are kind of funky. And early in my career, I did deal in some countries in Central America and Africa where those markets hadn't gotten developed enough, where everything was regulated. So the stock markets themselves were regulated, but there was no custody. So you had to deal with that because that was an unregulated. Now everything is now pretty much, I would think, of the 150 stock markets around the world, pretty much 100% of them are fully regulated in terms of trading, custody, which makes it easier for investors to invest and not get killed. But when you have this unregulated markets like you do in crypto, that's when you're taking your, it's like a casino because you just don't know.
Got it. Awesome. Right on. Tom, I really appreciate this conversation. If we can continue this conversation, if someone has any more questions, how can they reach out to you?
Well, they can. You can go on to my my company Bron. It's BRON. You can. It's on. We're on the App Store and also Google Play. Bron Investor Network. I also have a podcast where I not a podcast, but a YouTube channel where I rant and rave about markets, and that's called Investing Confidential. And people can comment and ask me questions on there as well.
Do you have any books? Anything else? Anything else you could share or plug? You got any T-shirts? It's time to sell your merch.
I'm just trying to plug my YouTube channel because it's brand new and okay. The feedback I'm getting is great. So if Investing Confidential is a place you want to hear me rant and rave about crypto and other markets, that'd be the ideal place to go.
Awesome. Tom, thank you so much for coming. Guys, if you liked our show, you'd like to hear more about financially, and tune in next week. We'll be talking more about business and stuff. You can find me at The Real Mike Jones on IG, and you can find this other handsome guy at work in to get in contact with you.
Room Financial or The Financial Effect, as always.
Thanks for listening to Money is Funny. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Music by Stream Beats.